listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
And that one's on frame from Arturo Vidal! Bayern with the first goal in this quarterfinal against Real Madrid.
By the way, Arturo Vidal stepped up to take a penalty near the end of the first half. It was a penalty that should never have been given for Bayern Munich. Nonetheless, he hit his penalty so far over the crossbar. They're claiming they're seeing it in the Black Forest region of Germany right now. I mean, it was the biggest blown penalty you'll ever see, and nobody can really talk about the extent of what effect that had on the game, because in the second half, if you go in the locker room hitting that second goal, you don't know what that does to Real Madrid in the second half. Cristiano Ronaldo and company stepped up. Javi Martinez got sent off. Quick word here for Bud Light. They know that moments spent with friends are ones that really matter, and that late-night stories are best served cold. So as you swing by your friend's apartment or you head to the bar for happy hour, make sure you grab some ice-cold Bud Lights. Make tonight tomorrow's story, because with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beers, you're building friendships. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and the Houston Dynamo. And a quick word for the Gorgeous Gale. If you want an Irish pub with an Irish feel, then the Gorgeous Gale, it's the place for you. It's 5555 Morningside in West University. Catch all the best soccer leagues from around the world. I do know that the Liverpool supporters group hangs out over there. Bunch of good people there. Manchester United is down at the King's Court. Arsenal's at the Richmond Arms. Barca's at, I think, the Richmond Arms. Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, I think, are down at Bayern Munich. But anyway, back to the Gorgeous Gale. They got the Champions League on over there. Stop by for a pint and a bite at the Gorgeous Gale. Wonderful whiskey offerings. They'll make sure you take in the outdoor patio feel. Lots of monitors. You're not going to miss games there. The monitors are all over the place. Say hello to Peter. Get over to the Gorgeous Gale. Learn more at thegorgeousgale.com. All right, so 713-780-3776. We can continue the talk on the Champions League. Does anybody have something to say about Juventus? Does anybody have something to say about today's Real Madrid 2-1 win over Bayern Munich? Out of all these results in the first leg of the quarterfinals, Monaco 3-2 over Dortmund, Atletico Madrid 1-0 over Leicester, Bayern Munich 1, Real Madrid 2, Barcelona going down 3-0 to Juventus. Biggest result for you? For me, it's the comprehensive result of Juventus over Barcelona. What do you think? 713-780-3776. Raymond says Dybala is the future of Argentina. Hopefully the new coach will make him start. No more Aguero, no more Higuain. Well, I wouldn't be so quick to fresh Higuain and Aguero out the door. I thought Higuain actually was excellent from a work ethic standpoint for Juventus in the 3-0 win over Barcelona. What about Mandzukic? He's typically a number 9. He played wide in midfield, worked his tail off. It's the other thing. We can talk tactics all we want. We can talk Dybala all we want. But we also have to talk about Allegri and the ethic that Juventus had in that win over Barcelona. And Barcelona, again, suspect defensively. Do you think, 713-780-3776, Barcelona have, well, let's put it this way. After what we saw them do to PSG, although I think PSG began celebrating that a little bit too quickly after winning the first leg 4-0. Every other team in the world, we would say, is dead and buried after a 3-0 result to Juventus. I don't think we ever say that about Barcelona. Barcelona, Raymond says, they take in their games at the Richmond Arms, their supporters group here in Houston. So you can never count Barcelona out. I don't think it's going to happen this time, and strictly because Italian teams, Juventus, so organized, balance of pressing and defending deep. They wrote the book on it. They can suffocate teams. They can strangle teams. They can see this out with a 3-0 lead. Plus, they've got one of the great goalkeepers in the world, Gianluigi Buffon. I don't think it's happening, Barca fans. And I could be really regretting what I just said, because you do say that with a little bit of tempering, because it is Barcelona. And when you have a trio of Messi, Suarez, and Neymar, you know, how do you contend with them? Well, you contend with them the way that Juventus did. Pressure at the right times, disrupted their rhythm, defended deep, and with that, Messi put in Iniesta. If they tie it at 1-1, it could have been a different story in turn. It comes down to plays sometimes. You know, missed penalty, play by Ronaldo. Ronaldo moves himself into a central role in the second half. 713-780-3776 if you want to bring out the Champions League. I mentioned Mark Cuban trying to get Tony Romo a game. Does that demean the NBA and the Dallas Mavericks if, in fact, an owner tried to sign for a day or something a Tony Romo? I mean, it certainly would if it was Major League Soccer and we tried to sign James Harden for a game down here as a publicity stunt. What do you think? Does Mark Cuban have the right to put anybody out on the floor he wants, including Tony Romo? Does it hurt the integrity of the NBA? Would it hurt the integrity of the MLS? I would say 100% yes. Or is it, you know, am I archaic? Am I archaic in my thinking here? Then things like that, I'm getting a lot of head shaking in there saying I'm archaic. So you wanted to see Tony Romo play, didn't you? Not me. I know Mark Cuban did because it certainly drew a lot of attention, even the fact that he didn't play. People are talking about it today. They're all over it on sports talk shows. 713-780-3776. U.S., Mexico, and Canada. What are your thoughts on three countries hosting a World Cup in 2026? For all intents and purposes, I can't see this being derailed. I can't see the U.S., Mexico, and Canada as a joint bid in CONCACAF not getting the World Cup in 2026. It's going to be a 48-team format. Do you like that? Is that too many teams? The Confederation is behind it, CONCACAF. Here's the ticker, though. 60 games to the U.S., 10 to Mexico, and 10 to Canada. The Mexican press is totally opposed to this. 99% of the Mexican press is opposed to this. Former Mexican greats like Hugo Sanchez opposed to this. What do you think? Sunil Gulati has already said the Trump White House is fully supportive of this in 2026. This is a way you get a whole confederation behind something. Only, 2002 it was Japan and South Korea, right? Jointly hosted. But this would be three countries. But to the Mexican press, this is, they feel demeaned. Because they've held World Cups. If it was a head-to-head bid, Mexico against the U.S., who do you think would win it in 2026? The most successful World Cup ever was 1994, hosted by the United States. Now, some are going to say Mexico's soccer culture, their history, trumps the U.S. The Mexican press calling it an embarrassment. And by the way, the head of FIFA, Gianni Infantino, owes a real debt to Sunil Gulati of U.S. soccer. So, hopefully the World Cup returns to the U.S. in 2026. It's 48 teams. U.S. and Mexico have hosted it before. They know what it's all about. No one wants to build more facilities in this day and age. I think that was a disaster in Brazil. Three countries that have 40 to 50 stadiums that meet the criteria. Final decision will be made, don't hold your breath, in 3 years in 2020. When Russia was in town, and this you might find interesting, I spoke to their press officer, Ivan. Ivan was a very nice guy. Told me about the preparations going on for the World Cup in Russia next year. Said, look, without a doubt, the stadium's up to par. He himself said he doesn't think the way it's being run in Russia is up to par. It was critical. And that even certain soccer cities and places that should be hosting aren't. Like Sochi is going to have one of the venues. And Sochi's not really a real soccer area of Russia. You're not fit to wear the shirt. That's what away fans were chanting at Selhurst Park on Monday when Arsenal lost to Crystal Palace. If there are any Arsenal fans out there, 713-780-3776. Jamie Carragher, who used to play for Liverpool, said this of Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil, that they're playing to get away. They're playing to leave the club. Is that possible? Could be. Manchester City won Alexis Sanchez. The Dynamo at New England. Windy, blustery day. The Dynamo self-inflicted mistakes cost them. Got caught very high defending Kai Kamara. He got in behind. Initial good save from Tyler Derrick. He gets a rebound. He scores. And then Juan Agudelo. Tyler Derrick, a ball we all think he probably should have held. Punched it right to the feet of Agudelo. Couldn't get any height on it. Should have held it and made it 2-0. Now, like I said to Andrew Wenger when he was in studio, if that game ended 0-0, we might be lauding the Dynamo for a road point, a better collective defensive effort. They did defend well in the first 45 minutes. It can't be out-and-out total entertainment on the road all the time like the first four games were. We were spoiled. But now can the Dynamo get back to that way against Minnesota, which is an expansion team, which, by the way, I'm going to tell you, be careful, because two games ago they won. They acquired a couple of new players, including Mark Birch and Sam Cronin, that have solidified things defensively. I've watched their game against FC Dallas, and they had chances. Jesse Gonzalez in goal for FC Dallas had an incredible game. They have the fourth leading goal scorer in the league in Christian Romero. So what do they say in other sports, Tyler? Is it called a trap game or something? There's some terminology. Trap game, right?
Yeah, it's a trap game.
I would just say don't underestimate Minnesota, and I don't think Wilmer Cabrera's team will. Everything that touched Kubo bounced off him in New England. His first ball into his feet in the game, I watched it, bounced off him, and I'm like, well, I sure hope that Kubo Torres, this isn't the harbinger of things to come today. And he did very much struggle. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have first here, Tyler? Let's go to Raymond. Raymond, what's on your mind tonight?
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm good, Raymond. How are you?
Pretty good. Always catching up with your show every Wednesday.
All right, what's on your mind? Come on, get to it, Raymond. We got other callers. What's on your mind, Raymond? We want to hear what you have to say.
Well, the Barcelona, they won't be able to go back this time. Keep in mind that Juventus is not PSG. You know, they have a solid defensive line. They still got Buffon, which he's still in amazing condition. They may be able to score a goal or two. You know, I love the team, but it seems very, very difficult.
So you as a Barca, fan, don't think it's going to happen, Raymond?
We have, you know, we still, you know, hope is the last thing you lose, but we still may have some confidence that, you know, Messi can pull something out of his sleeve, you know, but, you know, we know that Juventus, you know, they will come out, they will try to score the way, I think they will play the very same way they play in Italy. They will go and they will try to get that goal early on so, you know, you can put, you know, pressure, you know, so those spaces can open.
Not getting a road goal was a killer for Barcelona, wasn't it? Because even if you lost 3-1, then it would have been, all right, Barca come back, you win 2-0, you dominate ball possession, you score two goals, and you guys can be moving on. But 3 is going to be a little bit too much. Raymond, thank you very much for the phone call. Say hello to all your friends in your supporters club with Barcelona. We appreciate you calling in here tonight. All right, we'll take a quick break here when we come back. By the way, great Europa League quarterfinals tomorrow. Anderlecht, Manchester United, Lyon, Besiktas, Ajax and Schalke, Celta and Genk. That's all on Fox. Good fun there. Stay with us. We've got some live guests coming in here from the Houston Dash, Melissa Henderson and Amber Brooks. And we do want a quick word here for Bar Munich. If you need the best soccer-watching pub in Midtown, it's Bar Munich. Probably wasn't a happy place today with the Bayern Munich fans. Bar Munich, a wonderful open-air pub. It'll serve you football-watching needs all year long. Say hello to Raymond down there. Check out their incredible beer selections. Bar Munich is right in the heart of Midtown on Louisiana. It's barmunich.com. It's 2616 Louisiana. Get over to one of the great soccer-watching spots in Houston. It is Bar Munich. We'll take a Bud Light break now. We'll come back. And it's time to talk a little bit of Houston Dash. And Houston Dash fans, women's soccer fans, this is your chance now. Show me that you care about your game and your team, because they're opening up this weekend. You can call in at 713-780-3776 to talk to the ladies tonight ahead of their game against the Chicago Red Stars. And by the way, got some of these to give away. We got a lot of tickets to give away. We'll take a break. Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Asensio now on the left. He'll hook in the cross. Looking for Ronaldo, and it's stuck through that time. Neuer couldn't keep it out. Ronaldo's second, his 100th career goal in European competition. And Real Madrid have swung this first leg on its head.
All right, we're coming back with a little soca music. Who said we don't know what's going on in the world of music here? But we've also got in studio now Amber Brooks of the Houston Dash. Amber, welcome in.
Thank you.
And Melissa Henderson, speak into the microphones here. Now, this is going to be two segments here, and we're talking Dash, we're talking NWSL at 713-780-3776. They opened their season, 2015. Just to remind you, it's the fifth year of the NWSL. No women's professional league has ever lasted that long. Having called games in all the leagues, I know. So the roots are sunk, and the Dash will play at 1 o'clock against the Chicago Red Stars. I got a boatload of tickets I'm going to give away. With the tickets, you're going to get a picture of both Melissa and Amber signed. They just signed them for us. So this is your opportunity to call them and ask them questions about the team as well at 713-780-3776. So, Amber, I'm going to lob you a softball. You got to be psyched to get this season underway Saturday.
Definitely. It's was a very long off season. I know all of us worked hard individually on our own, and then it's been a great month of preseason. It was great to get up to Portland, play against Chicago, actually get an idea of what they may throw at us, but we're pumped and ready to go for Saturday.
And Dash fans, you might have seen Amber scored, what was that, Edgar, from about 25 yards out? 35. Wow. Yeah, that's it. Actually, you know what, now that I think about it, it did look longer than 25 yards out. You know, the power from long range, where did that come from?
I guess I got to thank my genes a little bit there. Both my mom and dad were soccer players themselves, and some great coaching, some great individual training growing up, showing me how to properly kick a ball and just develop that power over the years.
Melissa Henderson's in studio as well. Melissa, tell us a little bit about, you know, how the team is feeling ahead of this one this weekend. Obviously, everything we're hearing is great preparation, great chemistry, best preseason ever, Randy Waldrum, your manager, has said.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's anxious to get out there and play. I think, as Amber had put earlier, or said earlier, that, you know, people put in a lot of work this offseason to get where we are and to come together cohesively and on and off the field and really get an idea for just where we want to go this season, and that's winning the entire thing. So coming in with the mentality that we're going to come in every single day, work hard, put in the work, and really just build that team chemistry to get where we want.
What's different from in the past 3 years? Because it is a team that has not made the playoffs yet, and it does seem to be a playoff caliber team. But what's different? What's going to get you there?
I really just think buying into the coach's system and really listening in. I think that we've had in the past several people, or, you know, myself included maybe, that have kind of gone their own direction in certain ideas of how to defend and how to attack, how to get out of pressure. And it's kind of buying into the whole system. When you're on the coach's system, then you have everybody in line behind you, especially being in the attack, that's on the same page. So when you're all on the same page and you're all doing the same thing, you can kind of initiate the press. You can initiate, you know, where they could possibly play the ball, and then you're right there to get it in the next line of defense. So I think buying into the system overall that we're playing and really going in with, you know, no doubts and playing for one another and using that kind of as our strength.
Is clarity important to you both as players? I mean, I remember coaches I had, some really defined my role. I was the kind of guy that I needed a lot of definition. I needed to be told exactly what was wanted. I know others are different. Generally, those guys are defenders like me that aren't the skilled number 10s and the playmakers and stuff. But what is it about the definition of roles and coaches that's important to you, Amber?
I I think it's really important to have that clarity, especially a team like ours where we have internationals from so many different countries who have played on different clubs, play on their national teams, and they maybe have different roles with them. And I know personally, I'm like you, I like to have a very clear idea of what's expected of me, you know, the top three things that I can do to help our team be successful. And I think overall being more organized and like Mel said, having a better picture of what Randy wants as far as his philosophy going forward and defending, and everyone just knowing, you know, what strengths they can bring to the team and what their responsibilities are in a game.
Amber Brooks joining us in studio, as well as Melissa Henderson. Having two parents that played the game, that's in some ways a bit of an advantage. Tell me why that was interesting, because obviously I'm going towards they wanted to share something that they really loved a lot with their daughter.
Definitely, and both my older brothers played. They're 10 and 7 years older than me, so they kind of paved the way. And I was always the ball girl at their games and just wanted to do everything they were doing. So soccer was definitely the family sport. And, you know, just my mom actually was one of the first women in the U.S. to play on a men's college team. They just passed Title IX, and they didn't have a women's team at Ashland University. So they kind of had to let her play, wow, but she likes to say she was good enough for
it,
too.
That's pioneering.
Yeah,
right,
definitely. So, you know,
pioneers in here, but that was an early pioneer, your mom.
Yeah, just, you know, of course, I think all of us that have kind of made it to this level are more inclined to have had very supportive parents who were willing to sacrifice and do what they needed to do to help us reach this level.
Dash announced their roster, 20 spots filled, 2 goalkeepers, 6 defenders, 6 midfielders, 7 forwards. We'll talk about some of the international players. What do you like about the roster, Melissa, and why is it different than last year? Now, obviously, Carly Lloyd is over playing with Manchester City. There has been a lot of in and out the last couple of years that must not have been easy based on the Olympics and World Cups and things like that. But what do you like about this roster?
We all have the same vision, and I think Randy and the coaching staff has done a wonderful job at putting together this team to kind of what they envision as a championship team. And so I'm just super excited. I think individually every player has an exceeding amount of talent. So bringing it all together and getting on the same page, everybody wants to be on that same page. Everybody wants to learn from one another. They're open-minded and they're ready to just win. So having that hunger by it, but also understanding that it comes as a unit and the cohesiveness instead of individually. So I think that's really cool. And I honestly, from preseason, I mean, you can see it happening on the field. So I'm super excited about it.
Tell me a little bit about Bruno, because a lot of talk has been around the Brazilian heading into this, starting with you, Amber, and then we'll come back to you, Melissa.
Well, she's a great player to have behind me. I'm really happy that Randy brought her in. Both her and Janine, actually, have been already a great help behind me in terms of organizing where I need to be, and that allows me to then organize the midfielders and the forwards in front of me. So she's, you know, your typical Brazilian, very technical, very savvy, sophisticated. She obviously has the experience playing with the Brazilian national team. I think she's been their captain the past couple of years. So, you know, and for not knowing that much English, she definitely makes an effort, and you definitely still hear her on the field. So I think she'll be a big-time player for us this year.
That's Bruna Benitez from Brazil, and you know, you got a really interesting roster here. Rachel Daly from England, we know her. Nichelle Prince, I believe, played at Ohio State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I called a couple of her games.
Well.
Yep, Canadian international. So you got two Brazilians on the team. So it really is a very diverse roster, which is great in a diverse city. It makes it fun. What do you learn from the foreigners? And what do they learn from you? Because it goes both ways, by the way.
Yeah, right? It's a lot of joking around, a lot of fun and banter. So it keeps it light in the locker room, and it's always fun messing with them and them teaching us new words and stuff like that. But technically, they are awesome, and it's so great to learn from them. And physicality-wise, we bring a lot of just grit. So we both kind of take that off one another and learning kind of each other's, like, how each other play, and just the technical ability is really neat to watch within them, and it challenges you yourself, and you see yourself become a better player solely from watching them play and kind of their mindset and how they see the game move. So it's interesting. And then also when we get together and we're kind of going over tactics, you kind of see what their ideas are and compared to like what we thought, and sometimes theirs are a better idea, so it kind of broadens your idea range, I guess, for what would be the best opportunity to get forward, or maybe you hold it and you just kind of collect it, play it around the back so that you're not going forward every second, just like running your wingers and stuff. So it's pretty neat.
Melissa Henderson joining us in studio, Amber Brooks as well. Describe the system. What are we going to see Saturday? I know you don't want to give too many secrets away, but tell us a little bit about the system and how it's expected to work against Chicago on Saturday.
We've done a lot of work stabilizing our defense. So you're going to see our defense start with our forwards. And they know their expected role defensively. And then you're going to see a block behind them of midfielders and our wingers that, are ideally we're trapping the opponent into a wide, uncomfortable position where they only have one outlet and we're able to high press and win it in their defensive third. So we're in a good position to attack automatically. And, you're going to see our outside backs getting high. I think that's the modern game these days with, center backs that are organizing at home and me, trying to get in range to take some shots off, but still focus primarily defensively to allow our attacking mids to do their magic and connect to our forwards. So, nothing drastically different from what you've seen. I think it'll be more effective because, again, we're all more clear in what our roles are. But it'll be exciting. I think we have young and very energetic players. Even in this Houston Heat, we're going to want to press. And so that'll hopefully lead to some exciting opportunities in front of goal.
So when Andrew Wenger was in here, because we were talking about Juventus and how they had a balanced pressing game and also can defend deep, but he made the very clear point that if one person is not on the same page with everybody in a pressing game, it can kill you. And we all know that is fact. And you've talked, Melissa, so much about the camaraderie and the fact that people are on the same page, so important with a 4-3-3 pressing system or whatever pressing system you want to implement, right?
Yeah, I mean, it starts from the front line, I think, obviously. So however we react, the line behind us has to react just as quickly. So if they're one step off, then they threat us and they play around us, and it becomes just a chasing game. So I don't want to tell you all the details because if anybody's listening, it might be ruined. Some surprises we have in store for Saturday, but I know we're super excited. We're super pumped and we're ready. So
NWSL, I mean, this is the fifth year. Once you get to the end of preseason, you're just like chomping at the bit to play. What goes on your mind the next couple of days before playing Chicago, who, by the way, has got a couple of internationals. Saw him play against Russia, Casey Short, Kristen Press, right? Coming to town. These are very sophisticated, very good players at the top of their game. What goes through your mind as you know, today's Wednesday, tomorrow's Thursday. What do we begin thinking of? Or is it just about relaxing and trying to pull it back a little bit?
I think it's about routine. For me, I tried to get into the mindset, even in our preseason games, that this was, a real game. How am I going to prepare for this game like I would in season? So I think a lot of that is just sticking to the same routine, the same, wake up time, same pregame meal. Obviously, we were on the road for all of our preseason games, so it'll be that much more comfortable being at home, I think, now having played a season here. And we know a lot of what Chicago brings to the field. And for the most part, we think we know their system, although they gave us a try with the three back in Portland. So, but we know the quality that they have all around the field from goalkeeper to forward. And, they were a playoff team the last two seasons. So they're going to bring the same quality, if not better. And we've got to match that.
1 o'clock Saturday, BBVA Compass Stadium, kicking off the NWSL season. The Houston Dash in studio, Melissa Henderson and Amber Brooks. Amber's from New Hope, Pennsylvania. Andrew Wenger is also from the Lancaster area. So we've got a few from the Pennsylvania.
He went to Duke. Yeah. North Carolina.
You know that North Carolina Duke rivalry.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do right now is I've got two sets of tickets, and along with these tickets, Amber and Melissa were kind enough to sign some of their cards here. So you're going to get two tickets to the game, caller number 3 at 713-780-3776. And you'll also get signed autographed cards from Melissa Henderson and Amber Brooks. That's caller number 3. Caller number 6, you're getting a 4-pack to the Chicago Houston Dash this Saturday as well. So it's caller 3, caller 6 right now as we go to break at 713-780-3776. And Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter, and that late night stories are best served cold. So as you swing by your friend's apartment or you head to the bar for happy hour, these ladies won't be, trust me. They got a big game Saturday. Make sure you grab some ice cold Bud Lights. Make tonight tomorrow's story, because with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beers, you're building friendships. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and the official beer of the Houston Dynamo. More Dash Talk with Melissa and Amber after this. 713-780-3776. Caller number 3, caller number 6 right now.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm Carly Lloyd, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
Pulisic can't get away from Raggi. Good cross in. Kagawa, brilliantly done. Terrific game of football. And they're back in the tie again. Dortmund 2, Monaco 3.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 in studio. Melissa Henderson and Amber Brooks of the Houston Dash. They'll kick off their season this Saturday, taking on the Chicago Red Stars. That game is at 1 o'clock. Then a couple hours later, at 7 o'clock, it'll be the Houston Dynamo taking on Minnesota United, the expansion team in Major League Soccer. We'll give some of those tickets away as well. Quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. 713-322-4878. Bilingual, whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, you might work in a construction area, a plant, or refinery, you don't want to have to use a lawyer, but if you do, you want one that's going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, the Daspit Law Firm, is going to work for you 24-7. They'll fight for your right for compensation. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. All right, and as we were talking in commercial break with Melissa and Amber, Amber reminded me that she played at Bayern Munich. What was that experience like, being in a German soccer culture at a club like Bayern Munich? Because we now see that the Crystal Dunns, the Carly Lloyds are making the effort to go overseas, Alex Morgan. What was it like?
Yeah, well, call me a trendsetter. You know, I did it before everyone else.
Well, you're following your mom's footsteps.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. It's just a whole nother, like, level over there. And just the culture and the club, it's, you know, very much club over country over there, which is unique in comparison to the United States. And just being able to eat at lunch at the cafeteria and watch Pep Guardiola run his sessions right in front of me, and just, you know, running into the men's players who shake your hand, wish you good luck. And, you know, it's Ribéry and Robin and these players that I've, you know, watched play on at the World Cup and play with FIFA on, you know, on the game station. So it was just unbelievable and just a great club to be a part of.
How is the league different than the NWSL, the play in Germany? They call it the
Bundesliga, Frauen-Bundesliga.
Frauen-Bundesliga.
Yeah. Well, their league's been around for about 40 years now. It's different in that, you know, it's a bit more, I would say, tactical. You know, you have the team feel. You sign 2-3-year contracts. You don't have to worry about being traded or waived. And it's, I would guess, say a little bit less of a business over there, more of a camaraderie kind of. I would say here in the NWSL, you know, much more athletic still. I think we have more individual players that have the ability to impact a game and just really influence the game in a way versus over in Germany. It's kind of more team-oriented and in terms of tactics and being really organized and whatnot. So two very, you know, different leagues, I would argue. I haven't played in Sweden or in France, but in terms of top to bottom and the ability of the teams to, you know, the bottom teams to take points off you in any given game, I'd say the Bundesliga and the NWSL are the top leagues.
Is the NWSL a little bit more, and I'll come to you, Melissa, with this as well, is it more of a transitional league? Is it an up-and-down league compared to leagues in Europe and maybe Germany?
I would say so. I think, again, just because I think they're just a little bit ahead of, and you know, in terms of athleticism. And then, you know, we have just phenomenal players like, you know, the Christian Press and that can just turn games on a dime and affect the score immediately. So I would say that's a good way of putting it. It's a bit more transitional over here for better or for worse. So
Melissa?
I've played on loan in a few countries, but I would definitely say the NWSL is more of a athleticism game. I think it's a lot of fast, strong, not as much tactical, organizational. But other places that I played is very much, yes, team-oriented and very tactical. So I'd say those are kind of the major differences that I would see.
Saturday, Chicago Red Stars will come to town. They'll take on the Houston Dash. It's down at BBVA Compass Stadium. 2015 season will kick off. Now, you've played in Seattle. You've had to bounce around like a lot of the girls in the league. Look, the women in the league. You are kind of still pioneers, aren't you, Amber?
Yeah, I guess so. I remember back in 2000 being a season ticket holder for the Philadelphia Charge and the WSA and thinking, oh, this will be awesome. In 15 years when I'm ready to be a pro, it'll be well established. I'll be making six figures and it'll be a legitimate career. And I didn't think, you know, fast forward that I'd kind of be the pioneer in that sense. But, you know, it has to start somewhere, and I'm glad that, you know, it seems that U.S. soccer and the investments are being made that it'll be around for the long term.
Isn't that part of the legacy you can leave is, you know, touching a lot of young players, playing great games, being a part of great teams, helping to grow the league? I mean, that's also a good place to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, being a pioneer, you think, obviously, as Amber said, you grow up and you have this fairy tale of what it's like to be a professional athlete. And I think the NWSL, it's kind of been a different type of fairy tale. It's kind of how you look at it. But at the same time, it's an absolute honor to be a pioneer in the NWSL. I mean, you have this opportunity to reach young girls and young boys and, you know, people of all ages that are coming to the games and be able to connect with them and then become not just fans, but your friends and supporters and people that you support in their life as well.
I'm interested to see how it's going to work on Saturday because there is quite a time difference between your game at 1, probably finishes at 3, and then the Dynamo game. My sense is that they're two very different sets of fans from what I look at when I see the demographic. Like when I went to the U.S.-Russia game, which both of you were at on Sunday because I was calling that for ESPN, it's a very U.S. women's national team-oriented crowd, right? I think you have a Houston Dash crowd. I wonder if it could blend and mixed over.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like you said, I think it's kind of still different demographics. Dynamo have been around a lot longer than us. And, you know, I think the different cultures and ethnicities around Houston are, you know, more likely to go to the Dynamo games than the Dash. But, you know, like, we have a very international roster and exciting players. I know I'll be sticking around for the men's game, so it'll be a soccer Saturday for me.
Yeah, it's a big day. I had a feeling you were going to stick around. You sticking around, Melissa?
Oh, I'm definitely sticking around. I think it'll be interesting because I think we do have two different fan bases, but I think with success, ours can definitely grow and we can grab some of those Dynamo supporters as well. I mean, they've been doing so well this season, so I'm super excited for them. But I'm also excited to kind of get fans to come out, even for their first time, to come to one of our games because I promise you, you come out once, you won't want to not come again. You will come again, and it'll be a great time.
And there'll be a lot of there's a lot of things people can do in between the games. There's going to be all kinds of festival type things going on outside. You can also, if you want an adult beverage, you can head over to the King's Court, who's a sponsor of this show. So you know, yeah, it's right there. It's right on the corner. Yeah, there's a lot of great food that's going to be floating around. So stick around, make it a day, and catch the Dash at 1 o'clock. And then you turn around and catch the Dynamo at night. All right, so how important is it to get off on a winning note here this year based on the fact that the team has, you know, fallen short of making the playoffs the three prior years? You want to make a statement just like the Dynamo did at the beginning of their year, right, Amber?
Yes, it's really important, especially if you look at the fact that our three games after this are away and against, you know, every team in this league is quality. So there are no, you know, definite wins. So really important in front of our, you know, home fans, and Randy's been making a point even last season, but really reiterating it this season that home needs to be, you know, our fortress, a place where other teams, you know, regardless of the heat, are not happy to come and play, and it needs to be a place where we're picking up our most points.
The heat, how long did it take you to adapt to it, Melissa, when you first got here? Because I know it took me a couple weeks, probably.
Yeah, well, that's what's crazy is I'm born and raised in Texas, so I'm used to the heat. I did I've done many tournaments my entire life here in Houston. I don't think you can get used to this heat. Playing in it is just tough. It's tough. But at the end of the day, we kind of have an advantage by playing in it so often that we're used to it and we're not going to, you know, fall over when it comes to the game day. But I don't think you can really get used to it per se. But, I mean, that might just be me.
Do you feel like you guys are making a little bit of a bigger dent in this community? I mean, what type of crowd do you think you're going to get there on Saturday? Are you making a deeper connection? Because, look, a lot of it's strictly about the personal touch. I mean, to me, there's no better asset for the Houston Dash than you, the players. Out there touching kids, connecting with kids. How many clinics do you all do? And I know you do a lot of that stuff. I can remember when I played, you know, I probably for every game I played probably did 20 clinics, you know. What's it like?
Yeah, we all attend quite a few appearances. I know there's also a handful of us that are involved with individual and group sessions on our own for some supplemental income. But, you know, I live with a host family and they have season tickets and they have friends who have season tickets and I've met. And so, like you said, a lot of it is that personal touch. I was, you know, with the sales team today making calls out and having positive responses. And I know they're excited about the number for Saturday, and even, you know, we've given them 3 weeks after that to get the numbers up for a second game. So, you know, I think all signs point towards, you know, consistency, if not some growth. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, get out. You just heard Amber say she's in there making calls. She's living with a host family. She's helping people out. She's training full time as a professional athlete. I mean, that doesn't want to get you out. I don't know what does, Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, I think I totally agree with Amber with people doing individual sessions. They're also, you know, going in making calls. You have people just going to different events. I know Andrew was gracious enough to let me be with First Passion Initiative that he spoke with earlier, the charity events, and just getting involved. And so, I mean, just getting involved with the community. I mean, I'll be wearing a Dash t-shirt. It'll spark up a conversation at the grocery store, and you never know who you're going to touch that might want to come to a game. So it's really just being vocal and meeting new people and just kind of voicing about the Dash and letting them know, because there's still people in Houston that don't even know that the Houston Dash exists. So
they're listening right now. Yes, you get out and see these ladies. I mean, they're international caliber. Some of the top soccer talent. There's not that many players in this league. If you multiply it by 20, what is it, 200 players playing professional soccer? You're in rare company. You're in rarefied air. Get out and watch them play. They're tremendous athletes. And I just, you know, I know there's so much youth soccer being played in this community by young women and young ladies. Why a coach would not want to use it as a part of their development program to actually take kids down and sit them at your games and get them close to the action to experience it and elicit dreams is beyond me. Anybody who's not doing that, you're not doing your job, quite frankly. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think, you know, just as much as we're watching, you know, men's and other women's national team games on televisions to keep studying and growing ourselves, if I was, you know, a young player, I, you know, would be on my parents and my club coach, even if it meant missing a practice or my own game to go watch us. Cause you know, I remember that impact that it had on me when I was 8, 9 years old. And I can just think of, you know, knowing that we have a solid league that's here to stay. And if that was my aspiration, as an 8 or 9 year old, again, I would want nothing more than to be a part of that.
Ladies, I can't thank you enough for coming up here. Melissa, thank you very much for coming to the studio. Melissa Henderson, also Amber Thanks. Brooks of the Houston Dash. Catch these two great players in action. On Saturday, they take on the Chicago Red Stars. I need to remind you of something. This is for pediatric cancer. Night with legendary Manchester United striker Norman Whiteside, Chelsea's Bobby Tamling. It's June 16th. For tickets, 281-812-4805. CCCFund.org is the recipient, a 501c charity. Full meal raffle. Again, get your tickets to this event. Benefits pediatric cancer, 281-812-4805. Right now, first caller and third caller right now at 713-780-3776. You get tickets, a pair of tickets to the Houston Dash Chicago Fire. For Melissa, for Amber, for Tyler Scott behind the glass, we thank you very much for listening in here tonight. Podcast, podcastarena.com. And we will say goodnight, courtesy of Bud Light.
ESPN 97.5.